Welcome back to Extra Points. Al Lorenzen, Casey Shelton. We are joined this week by Iowa Sports Spotlight's Tony Anseni. Tony, we talked a little bit about numbers and the challenges in Des Moines Public Schools of being able to practice competitively, being able to get enough guys on each of the teams to be able to challenge and push each other. And you talked about the need to get better in practice. And that is all absolutely true. Casey talked a little about in our first segment, you know, talking with Waukee coaches, other coaches in here, and their numbers, particularly when you start looking at freshmen and sophomores that are out, how, you know, the parents are starting to get a little gun shy with fears of concussion and other things, and you're seeing numbers drop, not to the level that we're seeing in the Des Moines Public Schools yet, but what's the long-term impact of that fear of head injury on high school football?
Well, to me, I think sometimes as parents, you know, we live through our kids, and sometimes that's good and it's bad. You want them to experience what they can and what they like to do, but I think we start, especially with a padded game of football, these kids' bodies are still not matured. We start them way too young. I don't think it's the junior high to the high school level that makes it bad, because you can teach that techniques in the junior high and a flag football program or a padded program as well with good coaching and in the high school, but I just think sometimes the physical nature of this game and the way the bodies have yet to mature in our young kids, I just think we start them too early. That's my personal opinion. I love the game of football, but I think there's a line that has to be drawn on when we start this. And money usually draws the ship, but now finally I think the attention is being gotten. When you look at kids specializing in sports or playing football, some of these things have happened way too young. And bodies mature. Sometimes these kids are with the stars by the time they get to junior high or senior high. You've lost some of them because their bodies have changed, but they were never in that position to be able to do what they're taught. They should teach kids to do all the positions in a younger age at a flag football type of scenario so they all understand that when their bodies grow, they understand the game of football a little better at all the positions instead of trying to be winning and trying to play this tackle football. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, and you know, the human body, that's one of the things with as kids start earlier and earlier and earlier, frankly, we're not seeing there's the skill development curve. The ability of what the human body can do is limited, okay? It's not unlimited. So starting a kid earlier doesn't necessarily mean that by the time they're at a point where they need to peak physically, their skills are going to be any better. And I think there's a lot of myths around those types of things that parents who haven't been there, who don't have the experience, buy into. And then, again, money jumps in, and travel teams, and you've got every city. I ran the sports commission here. We love it. We didn't care if the kids were healthy or not. We wanted them to come to our town and fill hotel rooms and play in tournaments and do those things. And there's absolutely money plays a role in what happens, particularly on the travel side. Now, I'm not talking about all that is good and holy, like an example, the Little League that Mike Woody runs here in Des Moines, that is clearly above reproach, and they have nothing but the children's best interest in mind. But there are a lot of organizations out there that it's about making a buck. And if you can do it with kids playing too many games, there's not many parents that are going to step in and say no.
You know, and you're going to still, I believe, make that buck if you do it the right way. But you just got to get everybody on the same book. But what happens, while one's doing it the right way, two others are not. And they're feeling, and people are feeling like, well, these kids are getting an advantage because they're not playing by the same rules. Sometimes you just got to sit back and say, hey, think about what's really best for your kid. And as long
Now that's just crazy talk.
Oh, no. As long as there's a smile on their face after they're done practicing or playing, then you know you're doing the right thing because they're enjoying what they're doing. When they're coming back and they're hating what's going on, their teammates, and they're now not friends with their teammates because of competition that's just gotten way out of hand, then, you know, maybe I'd take a step back and think about what's going on out there. Competition makes us all better, but there's a line at such a young age to understand that. I mean, and you hate to see young kids' friendship ruined over that.
I had parents who were friends of ours. This was a few years ago, and their child, I think at the time, was 6 or 7 years old playing Little League. It was baseball, not in Mike Woody's league, because this wouldn't have been allowed to occur there. But the kid was playing baseball, and they asked me can you sit our son down and talk to him, because when he's out in the outfield, he's just not focused and he's not intense enough. He's, you know, looking at dandelions and, you know, there's butterflies flying around. And I just looked at him and smiled. I said, that's what you're supposed to do when you're 6 or 7 years old.
Did you tell him I'm 45 years
old? And I still do that.
did you say, you're asking the wrong guy to talk to your son?
You know, but that's the, you know, I think that's the challenge is, you know, all parents want what's best. For, I mean, no, I don't believe any parent wakes up saying, hey, how can I really mess my kid up today?
No.
But that's the end result sometimes. So there has to be balance between letting your kid be a kid and then driving them or allowing them, because the kids want to do it, allowing them to make decisions that are going to impact their health and well-being long-term. So, balance to me is the important piece in that.
One thing I want to get into, Tony, real quick is it seems that even at the high school level today, it is high school football I'm going to use in particular, it seems that that is almost a year-round sport now. Those kids are demanded to be in the weight room. They're demanded
The optional, quote,
yeah, exactly,
optional workouts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to be in the weight room. You need to put this kind of weight on. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I mean, it just – what happened to the days – I mean, I can go back to my summer in high school. Granted, we kind of vowed all to one another as players that we were all going to be there and show up in the weight room.
That's what we did.
Yeah. It does help.
We didn't
juice,
though.
But what about in the off season? You did juice. It just didn't work.
that's what I've – even in our business of covering high school sports, it doesn't seem like – we turn around and we're like, man, where's the vacation? Where's the break? And if I'm feeling that way, I don't know how, as a parent, driving kids to something every weekend. Heck, some weekends they're playing soccer, volleyball, and baseball, and basketball in the same weekend. And I love it that these kids are playing multiple sports, but your body also needs a time to shut down a little bit, change. You know, I think specializations come into play a little bit too much, and I think that's why we have a lot more injuries, because your body muscles are doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Well, your tendons, your ligaments, all those things.
They're wearing down. And you're not strengthening it. Well, if you're playing multiple sports or doing multiple things and give your body time to rest, your body, your muscles are getting all the attention at different spots because of the sport you're playing at that time. I mean, I remember when we played, I mean, I'm old now, but when it was Little League baseball season.
You're not as old as Woody.
When it was basketball season, that's what we did. Now you see kids in the middle of basketball season getting ready for softball or baseball. It's really just mind-numbing to me how they can be able to do that at this level and not tear their bodies up. And when you look at the numbers, you know, football-wise, when football professional football athletes are telling you that they wouldn't want their kid playing tackle football till at least they're in junior high and probably high school because they can play flag football, when a professional athlete who made millions of dollars and taking a look back at what they feel like today tells you that, I think we need to listen a heck of a lot more, and we've got a couple right here in the state of Iowa that have that message out to all of us. So I think we just need to step back and really take a good look at what we're doing with these kids, our kids, as they develop their bodies and not break them down. And going back to baseball, how many kids, just that's all they do is pitch, pitchers. And when you look at Major League Baseball, all the arm injuries, 90% are American-born kids. And why? Because they've been throwing since they've been old enough to throw over and over and over and throwing breaking,
unless they
balls.
Played in the Beaverdale Little League, and then they were stuck to a limited pitch count.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd want to keep the record. Oh, Raccoon Valley Little League. I'm sorry.
Some of these kids are playing 80 to 100 games a year now, and if you're a pitcher, you're looking at, what, 30 or 40 starts? We never saw that in our careers when we were in Little League, because we didn't play that many games in 3 years. Now they're doing it in a year. I mean, repetition and too many games. There's got to be a line somewhere. I love sports to death, but not that much.
Do you think, Tony, that, I mean, not only are you beating up your body, but you're physically beating up that young athlete? Because what I'm trying to say is, it seems like that when the kids get to the high school level, they don't care anymore. They just go out and go through the motions.
Yeah,
they're just, not passionate about that. Like, let's just say my little guy's name is Max. Max doesn't play, you know, all the time, you know, play sports year round. We sit him out. But in high school, he's kind of got that tenacity and that nastiness still, because he hasn't played all the time.
Well, because he's
not
your kid.
Burned out. Well, he's going to have a little redhead temper. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I can't help
the fear of the ginger.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's what it seems like. These kids just are, their parents are so over them all the time to do this, do that, that when they get to high school, it's kind of a rebellion thing. It's like, hey, you bought me, you know, the BMW or the Cadillac, the Escalade. I have it all. Now I don't care about playing sports really, or I'll just go through the motions. That's what I'm hearing from a lot of the high school coaches, that it seems that these kids just think they're entitled to everything today. And I think it starts back from when they were in the youth, pushing them so hard that they're just like, I'm done. I've put all my chips in the basket.
It's almost like it's been a career already by the time a kid's a junior in high school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of kids who have quit playing sports when they were younger because they were never thought of as that athlete. But a good coach would have gotten him and kept him happy and made him work better. And by, I mean, I was one
of the late bloomers like me.
Yeah, I was horrible. But I had coaches, luckily, that cared enough about not only the great players in our team, but the worst players in our team. And when I coached, I tried to look at that the same way. And it's amazing. You're not going to get much of a gain during the season on a guy who's already good, or a gal. But that, I always loved the guy or gal who came in struggling and needed a lot of work, and watch him develop by the end of the year. And I just never forget my greatest story. It was the year after coaching. I was walking into Hy-Vee, and cashier kept yelling over to coach. And I didn't know it was me. And it came over, and it was a young man who, when he first came to my team, couldn't even throw or catch. By the time he got done, he was my fifth best player on the team. And he came up to me and goes, coach, I'm in the senior majors this year, and I'm the starting catcher.
That's what it's all about.
That's why you coach.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's Amen. Why you do things.
Thank you for sharing your perspective with us. That is spot on, Tony. We appreciate your time. We've got to get out of here and pay some bills, but we hope to have you on again in the future.
Hey, guys. It was a lot of fun.
All righty. That's Tony Anseni, Iowa Sports Spotlight. Stay tuned for more Extra Points right after this.